Joel Hamilton, do you have a Twitter?
No, what did you call me?
Joel, whatever your name is.
Okay,
What's
that's
your
good.
name? Is it Joel Hamilton? Is that
Because
your
like
name?
I've noticed like older women, they seem to pronounce it like Jewel.
Oh.
Jewel?
Joel, I get a lot.
Joel.
Joel.
Definitely Joel.
Oh, those
Or
are
Yoel, if someone's
those are
Korean.
Kryptonians, actually. Those aren't old people.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so your new name on the show is Joe Ham.
This is the Insert Credit Show, episode number 105. And we are actually broadcasting live, so you can all critique the poor performance here as we go along. So that's real cool.
You can talk about me being gross. You can say my hair is ugly.
Well, speaking of
about
gravity,
how I'm not visible,
why are you not visible when we're going live with this?
Are you at your mom's house?
I'm still at my mom's house.
Oh, man. That's like a real shame that that's the answer, because...
Yeah.
The answer would obviously have been, like, why don't you have your video on? The answer would have been me rudely interjecting, oh, because he's at his mom's house. Like, or...
Exactly.
Because your mom's house. But in this case, because your mom's house is true. So,
yeah.
Well,
it's
what
true.
The heck, man?
And I just want to, just to shame you a little bit more, I mean, I actually went to some trouble to, like, put up, to be in YouTube fashion, all the, like, obligatory rare video games that I own. Like conveniently in the frame as I'm talking the whole time.
Okay, I see what, like Madden 96, Krusty Sports.
Yeah, oh yeah.
NBA Jam Tournament Edition.
Madden 96 is a pale, idiotic imitation of video ball.
Did you guys see that that video that I tweeted around of Bases Loaded 96 from Jalco?
Oh, dude, the price is going to skyrocket.
Yeah, it is, because that game is... I saw the Wikipedia entry for it, and it was like, this game was criticized or received negative reviews for its poor graphics and inappropriate implementation of organ music. And I was like, well, how bad could it be?
I want that to be a Moby Games category, like a group.
Right.
Inappropriate implementation of organ music.
Yeah. And so I looked it up, and it's all like organ music of nursery rhymes while the players are coming up and stuff. And it's like someone in Japan watched a movie about baseball in America in like the 30s or 40s or something. And they were like, you know, that's the real baseball right there. And then they just rolled with it. And that's what they went for.
And they also like kind of like drugs, perhaps, because it's incessant. It's really amped up.
It's a Japanese video game, and they have baseball in Japan, and they love it. And they have some weird goddamn music in their baseball stadiums.
I mean, I know they love music. I mean, music. I know they love baseball, and I know they're all about that baseball, but. I don't think they have this bizarre organ children's music.
They got some weird music.
Like a monkey organ grinder.
Here's a cool thing. I like watching movies and forensically like taking them apart, you know? Like, so the movie, like forensically like dissecting the psychology of the writing of particular lines of movies. So the film Kickboxer, they're like, this guy has flown to Thailand to challenge the Muay Thai champion. And during the fight, they're playing music in the audience, and they show the band like three times, but the music isn't even that loud. But then between rounds, the guy says to his brother, who's Jean-Claude Van Damme, is his brother, he goes, "That music is driving me crazy." And it's like the music, they just show the band; they don't really show the music. So I determined that they talked to some kickboxers who had been to Thailand about the issue of culture shock. And one of them had said, they play this music during the fight. It's weird. Why do they play music during a fight? I don't get it. And then that ended up as a line in a movie. So
Tim, are you talking about Seinfeld's career as a Muay Thai fighter?
What's the deal with the music? I'm gun punching a guy. I don't want to feel like I'm on a shampoo commercial. See? There you go.
Yeah, there it is.
Your Jerry Seinfeld impersonation sounds like Charlie in the Box from the Rudolph special.
Oh, God, yeah. Dude. Yeah.
Who wants a Charlie in the Box anyway?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Elaine?
Elaine? Elaine?
All right, so we're going to get started here? We're going to do this
Speaking
thing?
Of sound design, yes, thank you, Brandon. We ended up the last episode talking about the PlayStation's, 20th anniversary of its launch here.
Mm. Yeah.
And, you know, it'll always be remembered as the console with the greatest startup sound of all time. No. And you can tell by the cadence of that statement that that's a fact. That is not an opinion.
Right. What, the Saturn startup sound?
No, he said the PlayStation one.
Oh, the PlayStation
one. Oh. Yeah, it's all right.
Okay. Well, okay, here we go. So you have to name, and I realize that, you know, not all consoles had like a BIOS startup with a fanfare until that generation. So yeah. There's some other startup sounds we can discuss here. But you have to name your favorite, but you can't name it. You have to actually perform it using whatever means are available to you.
Oh, God. That's rough.
I don't like mouth sounds, and mine is...
I know, you refused to make the sound from Video Ball last time, so that's why I'm forcing you this time.
Mine primarily would just be a mouth sound, just breath and clunking and clacking.
Yeah.
So,
let me
imagine
think.
Some breath and some clunking.
Maybe if you can.
Well, you know, like that GameCube alternate startup sound where it's like the kind of like the kabuki, like... That kind of thing.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's how it makes me want to throw up.
Well, you might have to mute yourself while we do the rest of these. Frank, are you about to do it?
I'm trying to make the Dreamcast sound with the objects on my desk. It's not going too well.
Well, if you're not a bad enough dude...
Oh, wait, I have a fan. Here we go.
Okay.
You getting that?
Yeah.
Right. And then...
Oh boy, am I getting
quite
that.
Similar already.
All right, there we go.
That's sounds like breath to me.
Yeah. That's the Dreamcast sound.
Okay, let me see if I can.
You didn't hear the clanking I made, I guess.
Oh, the clunking.
See if I can get this going.
Clunking.
I was beating the end of a headphone cord against a lamp to try to do the sound that I won't make with my mouth.
Did anyone hear this sound? Hold on a second.
Is that a cat?
Did you hear that?
No.
Did you hear that?
Yeah,
okay. That's my favorite startup sound. Yeah.
That's the Jaguar startup sound as done by my mom's cat. So there you go.
All right, there you have it. Okay.
So I can do my sound. Hang on. I need everyone to be perfectly silent while I do my sound. Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right. Hang on.
Well, your fan's way better than mine.
That's a good fan.
I know.
Yeah, you know, I could have walked over to my Saturn and turned it on. I should have.
That was really hard.
Should have done it.
Can you hear me now?
That's what I should have done in the beginning.
Wow. I was going to say, are you out of breath from that?
Wow, that was... My chest...
I hope you didn't pull anything.
My chest is going to be sore for a couple of days. Yeah, I actually have an album of all of Ryuichi Sakamoto's sound effects that he has made for brands, and that is on there. So, pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
Is he the dude that recorded that album called Neo Geo?
Well, I mean, yes, but also he did a whole bunch of cool stuff. So, blasted, idiot. That's track 40 of 50 on that particular album.
That's so many.
Yeah, he did do the album Neo Geo, which I actually like a whole lot. Which, yes, Dad, I downloaded off Napster back in like the year 1999 because somebody who had a Number Girl album that I wanted. And a Yuta Yuta Teikoku thing that I wanted also had this album called Neo Geo. And I was like, that's Ryuichi Sakamoto. I know that guy. I've heard some of his stuff. And I'm like, I'm going to get this album called Neo Geo. And then I did it. And for many years, I neglected to talk about that particular album, you know, to be like, yeah, like, yeah, I like Neo Geo, because I was afraid somebody would be like, oh, is that because did you first hear it because you liked the video games? Yeah, I first heard it because I liked stupid Neo Geo video games.
Exactly.
But now, many 16 years later, I'm like, yeah, also it rules like a lot. So
I accidentally heard the album first and didn't really like it. But
oh,
I was pretty young at the time, and then later I bought a Neo Geo CD because I knew about Neo Geo, and then I was like, huh, there's like an album called that. That's weird. And then I looked that up again. I was like, hey, this is pretty good.
Yeah, I'd heard a bunch of Ryuichi Sakamoto stuff, like, incidentally, but never, I was not super aware of that album. And
yeah, it was a full 100% accident, but, like, it was a purchase at a, if you remember the warehouse.
Oh, I sure
where?
Do.
Yeah, where? The warehouse. And they had, like, 29-cent tapes at one time, and I got Ryuichi Sakamoto for 29 cents. And then I think, I don't know where it is now.
I came across that album in a similar discount fashion, and I really, really wanted to enjoy it, and I just couldn't, and that really crushed me because the desire was there because of the name. And so that's kind of what I wanted to get at with the startup sounds was, is there a, like, you know, the Konami noise?
Like that?
Thank you. Yeah. That's what I was looking for originally.
Yeah, there's one.
But that's not a console.
That's not a console startup sound.
But they didn't have, like, startup sounds back then.
All right, one more of those and you're fired.
I'm changing the question because we've already digressed so much. I mean, is there one of these that you hear and you just automatically, it doesn't even matter how good the game is going to be. I mean, you hear this and it's already giving you a good vibe.
Well, you know,
logo, quality. You're saying? In Japanese, they call it a sound logo. So.
Yeah, sound logo.
Yeah, sound logo, yeah.
I do like the Capcom one of a very specific era, the one where
Street Fighter 2 one, right?
No, it's just like a couple of notes, like doodun 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 doodun, like that.
I don't know that one.
It's like from the mid late 90s. I think it was used on things like Super Puzzle Fighter 2 Turbo. And
did it have like these cube, like these CG cubes with little lasers shooting between them?
Yeah, all the cubes with lasers.
Blam, like that. It was it was like sort of a derivative of the Super Nintendo one. It just had bigger, louder sounds, and it was like a remix. Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. I liked that sound. It's on Mega Man Legends, for God's sake.
You know, there was in the PlayStation Mobile library, there was a game called something like Mega Snack Planet Deluxe.
Oh, and, eat 'em up.
Yeah, and it was pretty fun, and it was by someone that called themselves Wolf Game, and they completely 100% just stole the Wolf Team startup sound logo.
Whoa.
I don't know how. I think nobody noticed it. Sony sure didn't notice it. But that's up there, and it's called Wolf Game. He uses the Wolf Team logo, but changes team to game, and I assume it's a dude. And then, just straight up steals their sound logo.
Busted.
Yeah.
I'm gonna put a small vote in for the Super Mario World chime with the Nintendo Presents. That always makes
the little
plinky, that little plinking kind of noise.
Plink? Yeah. Yeah, that's my answer to which one makes you happy every time.
Mm-hmm.
Little clink.
So these days, we're going to, for lack of any good topics that I can think of, we're going to go to, what are you playing?
Oh.
What are you playing?
Well,
what are you playing?
Based on a discussion in Answer Credit Show number 104, I decided to give Raw Danger another try.
Oh yeah, jerk it hard.
And I got a lot further this time, and I get it now. Like the first time, I didn't get it. So the first time it was like, okay, this restaurant thing's really cool. I like this part, but then it just seemed to be a series of I don't know. It felt like
nonsense.
Platform puzzles or something. It was just navigating through flooding. But then I got out of that building, and a weird cop runs over to me and he goes, have you seen this escaped convict? And right over his shoulder is the person in the picture. And I can choose and I can choose yes or no. And I'm like, oh, man, this is brilliant.
Yeah. So, so wait, how far have you looped through it once?
No. I'm maybe an hour into the convict story, the student.
Oh, so did you...
Which is the second of, what, five or something characters?
Did you say you saw the guy or not?
I said that I did.
Oh, and how'd that go for you?
Then he ran over and arrested her or something.
You know that all of your little things have consequences.
Right, yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know. I didn't know this woman. It's just some woman on the street. Like, just because exactly. She's pretty.
You try know, to explain it away now.
Yeah.
Boom. But see, I don't trust cops, so I would have said no, because, you know, if the world's falling apart, I don't trust no cops.
As it turns out, you're right, because he's extremely crooked, but maybe that's a spoiler.
But you're all people in the city, though. Yeah. You're all people with the...
Especially me.
Yeah, you're all just people in the city just trying to get by on being about to die, you know what I mean?
You know, living in the city, you know you've got to survive.
Yeah, also I love living in the city.
And, you know, the thing is, in the city, we keep it rocking.
Yeah, that's true also.
But, yeah, that's a cool game. I like that game a whole darn lot.
Yeah, I'm going to finish it this time.
I'm going to play it again soon.
You guys are both going to be playing it, like, real soon if the big one hits over there.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
What, the big flood, the big rain? That'll be nice.
Just the one, you know.
Well, an earthquake would cause a...
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to spoil anything about Raw Danger for Frank.
Sure.
It's a flood for the most part. If there were a... Yeah, so, Joham, strike two. Raw Danger is about a flood, okay? Come on.
Is this a spoiler? I mean, is this like...
No, it's a spoiler of the first 5 minutes. There's a flood. There's a flood, not an earthquake. Now, a Disaster Report and Disaster Report 3, Raw Danger being Disaster Report 2, whatever that means.
Can you please give us the Japanese title of these games?
Zettai Zetsumei Toshi.
Okay.
There you go. So it's,
I just wanted to hear it. It's got a nice ring to it.
It's a capital city in a state of utter despair. It's a pretty cool name. Yeah, so those are the bookending games are about earthquakes, and the fourth one is about an earthquake, which is actually coming out. Just that whole earthquake disaster fantasy is just big and rich over there in Japan.
Yeah.
Like good whipped cream. It's just thick and frothy.
It's the real deal for them. I've been playing a bunch of Saturn games. And
Saturn games!
Saturn games!
And I have a few things to say about those. Yesterday I was playing Quacky. As Quake. And that was interesting because, you know, I was looking at this thing and thinking about it in the context of it being kind of the real beginning of American dominance in console games. Because
brown,
that,
in other words.
Yeah, a lot of brown, a lot of just dark music. They got Trent Reznor to do that soundtrack, and a lot of shooting, and it was really difficult. Another thing that I found interesting, just totally outside of that, is you had a look button, which was how you could aim up and down if you're moving around. And you hold X, then you can move your look up and down. And that was an interesting, imperfect solution to dual analog not existing yet and not having a mouse and keyboard.
Blatantly ripped off from Jumping Flash, which obviously Quake copied a lot from.
Yep, good old Jumping Flash. And so I played that, and that was pretty fun and weird. I also played a game called Henry Explorers, which Frank knows it's a good name. It was for whatever reason it was called
Konami arcade game, right?
Yeah, it was called
Crypt Killer. Was it the Crypt Killer or was that
no?
Killer.
It's a Corpse Killer or Crypt Killer. I always get them confused. I think it's Crypt Killer, but yeah, that game is really silly and pretty fun, and you know, you just get into the game and a big floating head shows up and is like, "Hello, I am the spirit of..." I forget what exactly he's the spirit of. "Do not be alarmed. I will accompany you for a while." And then he just like explains stuff to you. And then at the end, he's like, "Now is the final battle. After that, you can fight me." It's like, what?
You told me not to be concerned.
You told me not to worry, and now you're the final boss. Thanks, buddy.
Boom.
But I was playing a bunch of light gun games because I got a new CRT over here, and I was enjoying some of them and not enjoying others. And I thought about this thing because of playing Virtua Cop 2, that, you know, for a lot of the American light gun games were essentially side-scrolling. You would go left to right or right to left across a scenario that was CG and pre-rendered. And then whenever you were moving through a space, usually it was not fully interactive and there weren't people popping up when you were going in the Z-axis. And in Virtua Cop, you could like zoom in and out, and through so doing, they wound up having really rhythmic shots, and you could essentially get combos that felt like a rhythm action game. And I was thinking there's a real missed opportunity there now that CRTs don't exist and light gun games are kind of gone because there's no Wii and Kinect is not really happening. Maybe in VR or something, I don't know. But for a rhythm light gun game, I think there's something you could do there that would be interesting.
I bought that game and was extreme, or Henry Explorers, that is, and I was really shocked to find out that HD CRTs are still too slow to actually play light gun games. So even if you've got like a elite retro gaming rig, you might still not be able to play these fucking games.
Yeah, that's too bad. I picked up this SD flat screen TV from a couple who were arguing in their yard.
Oh, you're arguing.
So
yeah, they were arguing
from a domestic disturbance.
Yeah, I bought them from a domestic disturbance situation.
Were they arguing about the TV and you're like, "Let me resolve this, I'll take it"?
That would have been actually a nice
solution is if we split this TV in half or if you give it to me.
Yeah. So I bought that for $10 and it's actually real cool. It's like the last of the Walmart Emerson TVs that were made by this Japanese company. And it's just a really nice SD TV, flat screen, great pixels on it. It's real good.
Yeah, the end of CRTs, those were nice.
Yeah.
Those flats, like my mom still has one that I bought her for Christmas, you know, whenever that was, and it looks great.
Yep.
Yeah, I managed to find a really nice Zenith flat screen, same setup, and I couldn't believe that that technology was gotten rid of so quickly. I mean, the picture is freaking awesome, except... Yeah. It has no remote, and it's extremely hard to access the video mode now.
you can get a remote on eBay.
Yeah, you know, I actually have the same problem with my Emerson television. Luckily, it is stuck on video one. So.
Oh, shit. You better never unplug that thing or jar it or knock against it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, you could probably find a remote from one of those.
Oh, I'm going to get one.
Have you tried going on eBay and looking for old TV remotes? You'll find them for like $150, shit like that.
I went on Yahoo Auctions yesterday and found a bunch of old Japanese phones, like exact models of phones I was looking for. It was hard.
Oh, man. But that sounds like a whole podcast right there.
Tim, you know, I was reading your thing about Twitter that you wrote on Medium.
Oh, my thing.
Yeah, your thing that you wrote.
On Medium.
Yeah, that one. And you were talking about those old Japanese phones, and I realized I have every Japanese phone that I've ever owned complete with all the text messages that were on it.
Whoa. Yeah, that's scary, isn't it?
It is scary.
I had a couple. I still have one of them in a box upstairs, and I have a prepaid U.S. phone as well that still has all the texts on it. And it's like weird to know that they're just all in there. So here's an even weirder thing than that. I have a so the only way, like I mentioned in that article that I wrote columns and I took pictures with my stupid phone camera and they just ran along the bottom of my stupid British magazine columns. The only way to get them off of the phone was to email them to myself and to pay money to email them to myself and like to pay the text message fee. So I had to email them all to my Gmail address because I've had that Gmail address since 2003. And if I just Google, or not Google, but search my Gmail inbox for 108@easyweb.ne.jp has colon attachment, I see every single photo that I ever removed from my phone, just all there.
Yeah, that's a weird time porthole.
Yeah, I know they're all in there because Gmail's promise was you'll never have to delete an email, and I guess I don't. So they're all in there.
Well, whereas I have a warning on Gmail right now saying you're out of storage space and will soon be unable to receive emails.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That can happen.
I would say test them on that one. I'd say bring it on, motherfucker.
Yeah, they just keep inching up the service still, or like inching up the storage space.
I'm using 20.52 gigs out of 15 gigs.
How did you do it?
Probably because I store a lot of raw scans on my drive.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm.
That'll do it.
That ought to do it. So moving on in the what do you category? What do you didn't ask?
You didn't ask me what I'm playing.
Yeah. What's Tim playing?
Didn't you? Fuck. How long have we been talking? What's your point, Tim?
Frank said he was playing Raw Danger, and then I talked about Raw Danger, which I'm not playing.
You're playing with phones, but okay.
I'm playing just the same old stuff. That's a joke. I've been playing that Heroes of the Storm, the MOBA by Blizzard. I played that. MOBA Blizzard.
Heroes of the Storm.
So the funny thing about Heroes of the Storm is Blizzard also made an expansion for StarCraft II called Heart of the Swarm. So they have two games that are capital H, lowercase O, lowercase T, capital S. Seems very curious to me. It's like
they should have named that other game Hearth of the Stone.
Hearth of the Stone is was the joke that I was about to make. So they could have Hearth of the Stone, Heroes of the Storm, Heart of the Storm, Heart of the Stone, Heroes of the Stone. They could just make all of them. I think it would be cool. Heroes of the Storm's real cool. It's like Smash Bros, except it's a MOBA. And it's instead of Nintendo characters, it's Blizzard characters. They got the Lost Vikings in there.
Oh,
I played it and streamed it last night. We're starting a team. We're doing.
Did they put StarCraft Ghost in there?
Yes. It's kind of incredible. They got a bunch of weird characters in there. So there's a what do you call it? Yeah, we're starting a team. Our team's we wanted our team to have the initials BUM, bum.
Yeah.
So our team is called Beyond Ultimate Mountain, which I think is a pretty good name for a team. So you can catch us streaming that on twitch.tv/actionbutton. I like it better than some other MOBAs. I don't want to say too many things that out me as a non-hardcore MOBA player. But
that's dangerous territory right there.
Yeah, I like that. You don't like get gold for killing an enemy and then you take it back to your base to buy a pair of boots from like a list of 100 boots or whatever. It's just real nice and streamlined to pick up and play, you know, own some stuff, neat gimmicks on the stages, good colors, good fonts, good little crispy sound effects, stupid voice acting.
Yeah, I have not played it, but I've overheard it while doing something else, and that voice acting is it's pretty ridiculous.
The character they give you in the tutorials is StarCraft Marine, and he keeps going, whatever's clever, when you tell him where to go, and I'm like... Man, are you at a rave in 1997? Like, come on. How lame are these? Yeah, I guess he probably is.
Yeah.
And that's the straight dope. Beyond Ultimate Mountain.
So I think that probably answers the question of what are you buying?
Yeah,
maybe. That's maybe I'm going to buy
that.
Oh, no money. It's free to play, baby.
Oh,
that's strike three against
you. I'm just from a previous generation, I guess.
We're going to see how many strikes you can rack up. Yeah, I'm from the same generation as you, you Moran. And wait, how old are you? What's your age?
33.
I'm 36, you piece of trash.
Oh, no. I guess the MOBA scene. Frankly, I don't know what age group that attracts, but I overheard some kids talking about a MOBA, and it was like,
you didn't know what it was.
Well, I didn't. It was the first time I've ever felt completely like out of touch with all aspects of society. It was like Lewis Black talking about
get in my station wagon. Get in my station wagon, and I'm going to take you for a ride to Rube School. Here it is. Okay. MOBA is a multiplayer online battle arena. Boom. You just got taken to Rube School. Now you know what it's called. That's all that there is to it.
Hey,
is that why they call it a Rubik's Cube? Because,
yes.
Because it separates the Rubes from the
Noobs. It separates the Rubes from the X Cubes, yes.
Yeah.
So... yeah, I like those games. So maybe like you earn money in the game that you can then use to buy characters.
So that does in fact answer the question of what are you buying?
Yeah. So maybe I'll buy a character. It's like, I mean, it used to be. I remember very early on when we had these podcasty discussions. It would be like, I would never pay for anything in a free to play game. And it's like, yeah, I guess they figured it out. I mean, duh. It's like, of course, the formula. It's not goddamn brain surgery. It's not curing cancer. They can make a AAA free-to-play game that I would pay money for.
Were we like that? I don't remember being like that.
No, I don't think we were, because I think I had already purchased something.
Yeah, you already had. Your justification was, and I quote, I just like the developer, and I want to support them, and I want to give those guys some money. And it's like,
I seem to remember that.
I mean, that's okay. That's a perfectly
real reason.
It is a real reason. It is, but now it's like, now it's about justice. It's like, Activision, do I want to give money to Activision? And it's like, yeah, I guess.
If the game's good, yeah.
Yeah, the game's dope. It's like, so the idea was, I believe our stance was, if they ever make a game that's like real good, yeah, sure. And it's like, well, they're doing it now. So
in other words, the litmus test here is like, did you buy extra cat food in Neko Atsume?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that.
I did.
I got real tempted. I mean, there were these two cats, and they were stuck in my tube, and I was like, I got to get more cats. And
too
I
many just, cats in your tube.
I couldn't wait.
Too many cats in your dog tube, yeah.
So is the question actually, what are you buying?
What's the last thing you paid actual or virtual money for?
Like video game related? Or
yes. Not like toiletries.
I actually did buy something really cool. I bought a Famicom Disk System Drive emulator. Now, I don't have it here or I'd show you. Y'all are familiar with the Famicom Disk System, I take it, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, so for anyone who's not, this is a disk-based drive. It was a disk drive that hooked into the Famicom, and they released games on these dumb yellow disks that you put in. And this is like 1984, 1985, so it actually made financial sense to switch over to disks because they actually had bigger space then. And you could save games, which was new. Like they didn't have battery saves yet, right? So Nintendo thought that was the future. Pirates proved them wrong by pirating everything. But anyway, the actual Famicom Disk System is this huge brick that goes into the disk drive, and it has this black cartridge that you put into the Famicom. And what I got was this homemade thing. It's a white little thumb drive that takes place of that entire disk drive. So you just plug that into the RAM adapter cart, and you load over USB disk images onto it, and then it just like loads it just like it's a disk. So I think that's real cool.
Yeah, that's pretty neat.
I think it's cool to replace a whole disk drive system with like a thumb drive.
And that's kind of necessary because those things are the original disk drives are real highly unreliable at this point, aren't they?
Oh, those belts wear out real quick. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you all know you want to do a thing? Go for it.
Well, it's too late now, but I'll recreate it. Frank says, those belts wear out real quick, and I'm like, sounds like me at the buffet table.
Pretty right. Good.
That's the kind of joke you could expect if we spent some money and like all got together in like a nice fancy room with microphones.
Yeah.
Like a radio studio.
Someday maybe.
Somebody send us $1 million. Somebody out there. There's a
$1 million, please, if you got
could
it.
Could we get a show on like Pacifica Radio 94.1 there in Berkeley? We'd add in like, you know, a real social justice element to get on the air, but it would really just be about video games.
Yeah.
Video games for the people.
So you all know that I just bought that Emerson CRT and television and a yep. Dreamcast with some controllers and some games for $20. But even more recently than that, since I suppose we're in a post money society almost, I traded a copy of Albert Odyssey for the Saturn for 14
99.
Not really rare to slightly rare games on the Saturn.
Nice.
Mostly because they had nice boxes, and also I didn't have some of them, and I didn't want to pay for them. So I'll just read down what I got.
Okay.
I got Tomb Raider, Tom Brader, also, as it's known.
Tom Brader.
Yeah.
Machine Head, Quake, Duke Nukem 3D,
I thought it was Quacky.
It is Quacky.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you got a Bush album and you got Quacky.
Yeah, I got Quacky. I got Last Bronx, Crusader, No Remorse, Virtual Hydlide, Black Dawn, Area 51, Sega Rally Champ, Thunderstrike, Virtua Cop 2, Scorcher, and Maximum Force.
Those are real games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some of them are.
An interesting assortment of digitized and or light gun and or something else.
Yep. It's a weird
the voxel based one.
No, the voxel one is Amok.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yep, that's the one. But Virtual Hydlide is I think the only attempt at making an RPG with digitized characters in a 3D world, and it was remarkably ill-advised.
It's really weird looking.
Yeah,
like I would advise anyone listening who hasn't seen Virtual Hydlide to look it up on YouTube and check it out, because no game looks anything like that game.
Yeah, you know, we talk these days a lot about how different bodies should be represented in video games and stuff.
Boom.
And,
and
you know, Virtual Hydlide, you just get like a dumpy, tubby dude wearing a brown tunic of some sort, just like lumping around, and it's like, well, this is you. Here you are.
Are you okay with this? Are you okay with your body?
Right. Yeah, you got to really, you know.
That's the real challenge.
This is your role playing, so, you know, can you handle it?
You know, the crazy thing about that is, like, it actually shows all of your armor upgrades and all the changes physically to your character through the items you add. And I'm like, why of all games is this the one that does that?
Yeah.
Wait, so they re-photographed him in, like, every configuration?
I guess they must have done.
I'd never thought of that, but I would have thought they just pasted over it, but who knows? Frankly, this guy doesn't even look like a real guy. Like, I would love to find the actor who played this guy.
You know, once I met a lady at...
Oh, no,
I know this is very surprising. I did meet
Sony
one lady.
Blade?
I met a lady, and then she was near... I was interviewing Jerry Bruckheimer, and she was doing makeup for the Prince of Persia movie. And so she was there,
nice.
But I didn't get to interview her or anything. She just happened to be there. And so I talked to her, and somehow it came up that she was the makeup artist for Street Fighter the movie, the video game.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So
and
hot.
I totally lost her contact info, but she had a lot of interesting stories about that I have mostly forgotten due to having to prepare to interview Jerry Bruckheimer.
So you lost her contact info. Did she lose mine? Because I haven't heard from her yet.
She I don't know if she lost it or if she just was intimidated. But
so when you interview Jerry Bruckheimer,
intimidated. Sorry.
So question two of two. When you, question. When you interviewed Jerry Bruckheimer, did you open the interview with, well, Mr. Bruckheimer, or so, Mr. Suckheimer, or so, Mr. Brickheimer? Because I would have gone with Brickheimer, because I think that's funnier than Suckheimer. The end. Blasted.
Mm-hmm. Boom. Yeah, I was pretty much like, so Jerry, because we're friends.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, good friends.
Jay Brook. Did you call him Jay Brook?
Yeah, JB. He actually, he was pretty congenial with me, and we had an all right time during the interview. And then later I saw him at the like party thing, and Jake Gyllenhaal was there, and Nicolas Cage was there, which was amazing. And I talked to Jerry Bruckheimer, and I was like, hey, so do you know like who I would talk to about the people that are writing like these Space Invaders movies and whatnot, because I'd like to get in on that. And he was like, and then he just turned around and walked away. He really did not want to talk to any aspiring young writers about any aspiring young things, and yeah, he made that very clear.
He's so high up in the food chain, you know, if he doesn't already know you, he doesn't want to, I guess.
Yeah.
How short was Nicolas Cage? He's like 5'1", isn't he? He's a real little guy.
He wasn't that short, actually. I don't know if he had... Oh, but he was standing on a platform, now that I recall.
Boom. He had a mobile heightening platform. Yeah. MAP is what they call those in Hollywood.
And he was there with the lady that he met in San Francisco as a waitress, who he then married. And his voice was shot, and he was like, hey, sorry, guy, I can't talk. My voice. It's my voice. That was it.
Oh, man, I do that all the time when people
try
to interview
me. That guy just, you know, I mean, he acts so hard, you know?
Yeah.
He acts real hard. So
I think he actually acted his way all the way out of his voice, because he was also talking to his friends that way. So.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I mean, he acts so hard, he must have blown his voice out. He can't get, I mean, imagine how many takes. You know how many takes it takes to get something in a movie, you know? Like, and he's just mega acting so much. He's just megaphoning all his lines. Man, there's the new. So I mean, you maybe are aware of this. I feel like this could be a good topic of discussion on this podcast. But Nicolas Cage, it makes a lot of movies. You know, like he is in so many movies, and. You know, you get to be a certain age, and you get to be a weird enough individual. And I mean, I know, Brandon, you like dumb stuff, right?
I do. I like it.
You like predominantly stupid video games. Is that true? You like some like dumb, sketchy, weird ones that most people would kind of just be like, oh, what is this? Right?
Yeah, I would say that's probably accurate.
I've recently been kind of just dipping in to like some Nicolas Cage movies, and it's like, God, the guy's a genius. You know?
Yeah.
Like, to be able to do that.
He's the king of trash, really.
Yeah. Like, so there's a new one that's on Netflix as of, like, yesterday. And it's like he's some sort of centurion Roman warrior or whatever. It's like, what? Like, how does he... I mean, these movies have some kind of a budget, and he's just in there having a good time. And there's that interview with him saying that his approach to acting is, like, he studied kabuki and stuff. And it's like, man, what a cool guy. So, like, yeah, I guess an eventual question someday would be, like, what kind of video games are, like, Nicolas Cage?
Yeah,
so
well,
everybody
did you
watch a Nick Cage movie, and let's think about it.
Did you watch Drive Angry?
No, I still haven't seen it. The one that's at the top. I downloaded it. It's at the top
gotta,
of my list.
You got to get on that one. I feel like most video games are, like, a Nicolas Cage movie, frankly.
Yeah.
Even when they're trying to aspire to something higher. I think most AAA video games are like a Nicolas Cage movie.
That's a disappointing answer, I gotta say.
Yeah.
I was hoping for something way more shocking and profound than that.
No, I just didn't think Drive needed a sequel, so I didn't see Drive Angry.
Yeah.
Drive Angrier. So, oh man, here's the movie. It's called Outcast. It is a 2014 American-Chinese-Canadian action film. Starring Nicolas Cage, Hayden Christensen, Liu Yifei, and a couple of other Chinese actors. I have no idea what this movie is. I want to see this stupid movie.
So you're telling me that Face Off was not the height of his career or his acting achievement?
No, it doesn't seem like
it. It's hard to say. No, I'd say Drive. Like for me, Drive Angry is my favorite Nicolas Cage movie so far.
Have you seen Bad Lieutenant, Port of Call, New Orleans?
I haven't.
Oh, man. Oh, God, it's going to tear your brain out. It's so weird. So imagine a movie, like this idea I had in the back of my head for like 10 years was I wanted to write a script for that would be like starring Steve Buscemi. I've probably talked to you about this, Brandon. Steve Buscemi, yeah. Christopher Walken, Gary Busey, Dennis Hopper, Willem Dafoe, and Nicolas Cage. Who could stand to watch a movie with all six of those guys in it?
Wow. Yeah.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
Because they're just all so hardcore. I mean, Steve Buscemi's
You forgot Harvey Keitel.
Harvey Keitel is probably in there, too. Yeah, he was the original bad lieutenant. So.
Well, I guess he had to get shuffled out like Van Damme had to get shuffled out in the later Bloodsport movies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he got just kicked right out of that thing.
You know, Tim, Tarantino, he's got that new movie called The Hate Eightful Eight.
The Hate Eightful Eight. And, I'm gonna put my brain on that one.
And you could make a remake of that with all those guys in it because I think a lot of people find them.
Dennis Hopper's straight up dead. So
That's a little too bad.
That's the reason why it's sad because it's like it needed Dennis Hopper. My story idea needed the Hop. It needed D Hop real bad.
I want to see a remake of 12 Angry Men with all those guys in it.
Each of them playing identical twins.
Yeah.
Six of them.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Are they on a jury or are they just angry?
They're just mad.
Okay.
One of them is trying to convince the other 11 of something, like, really, really stupid. Like,
my daughter, she saw a yellow cat.
I don't.
There's no such thing as a yellow cat.
Nah, it was yellow. You mean it like orange? Nah.
Nah, it's yellow. Bright yellow. It's my Black daughter. Room.
Yeah.
Did you say that's daughter?
I said daughter. Like D-O-U-G-H-R-T-E-R.
Speaking of 12 Angry Men, Jack Lemmon was in a remake of 12 Angry Men, which is on Amazon Prime Instant Video. And Jack Lemmon in the film, Glengarry Glen Ross, in the climactic scene, when he says, my daughter, but he says, my daughter. It actually sounds like he says, my daughter. So that's it.
That's good.
That's how my brain
my
works.
My daughter in Washington?
My daughter. Washington. I can't imagine the word daughter without remembering Jack Lemmon saying daughter in that movie.
Actually, the word daughter is written on my pad of topics here because I was recently noticing there's like a...
That I have this daughter. I don't know what...
There's that, too. I mean, unfortunately, I'm going to start paying on that, but there's a lot of video games from the mid-90s and late 90s where the president's daughter is, or daughter, is like kind of like a an end goal and kind of a perceived sexual kind of reward fashion.
Ooh.
In Time Crisis 3, you might actually play as the president's daughter, or she's like a sidekick. It's been a while, but...
Resident Evil 4 is the other one that comes to mind.
Resident Evil 4.
Yeah.
Former. Die Hard Arcade, which is actually kind of like the Nicolas Cage of video games now that I think of it. If you think of the tonality of Die Hard Arcade, it's much more Cage than it is... who the fuck was in Die Hard? Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis, you piece of filth. You can't remember who's in Die Hard.
I know, it's my dad, too. My dad was in Die Hard. I can't.
There's no jail cell small enough for you.
Die Hard.
That's straight up un-American.
But so can you? Is there a Moby Games entry that you guys could bring up of games with the president's daughter in them?
I really doubt that.
Games with the president's daughter.
Well, somebody worked on that. Let's just examine.
Okay, I'm gonna start Googling. I'm on it.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say that Die Hard arcade does have some Nicolas Cage-ness to it because first you're just like flailing around in a room with a bunch of dudes nearby. And then there's an action sequence where there's just one point to it, where you're like, punch the thing, kick the thing, jump over the thing. And that seems to fit the pace of a Nicolas Cage movie these days, where there's like the flopping around scene is him talking to people, and then there's a bunch of action where he's like, do it! And then there you go.
All right, so I got a list. I got a list on TV tropes. Warfare 3, the damsel in distress is the Russian president's daughter. Rui from Pokemon Coliseum is the president's daughter. Resident Evil 4, Ashley. Elaine Marley, the governor's daughter in Monkey Island.
It's true.
Princess Peach is not the president's daughter. What the, you idiots? Oh, Princess Zelda in the original Legend of Zelda has a father.
Well, wait. Do we know that
the president?
Do we know that the... that the Mushroom Kingdom is not just a constitutional monarchy.
Yeah, we don't know a whole lot about
that. They have absolute rule.
I don't think we know a whole lot about the power structure over there. I would actually be interested in some sort of Nintendo, like one of those castle building sims, what they got nowadays, and you're just trying to build up the Mushroom Kingdom Clash of Clans style.
That would be pretty sweet.
I mean, I would be interested. I would be interested conceptually, not in playing it, because right, Clash of Clans is garbage.
I can start rattling some off based on searching site:gamefacts.com in URL:/facts quote president's daughter. These are facts that have president's daughter in them. Point Blank 2. Elemental Gear Bolt.
OEGB.
Die Hard Arcade. Judge Dredd.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Revolution X.
Music
oh,
is the
yeah.
Way.
Yeah, whatever Zombie Revenge is.
That's
Die Hard Arcade, the Zombie Outbreak Edition.
That's the Dreamcast game where they had such amazing lines as, "To find him, we have to follow." Or no, to catch him, we have to follow. That's what it was. Yeah,
Electro Cop on the Lynx.
Nice.
Yeah. I could forget that.
Actually, a lot of these results are kind of bad because they're looking at like the little blurbs to the right where it's like, you might also like. So
unfortunate.
I could do another search later if you want to give me some homework because I got a good one.
We may work on this, but I'm just curious now, like what is it about the president's daughter? And is there
she's
any way
so
we could...
hot?
Well,
she's not the president.
Not if you look at Die Hard Arcade.
Oh, that's probably true.
She actually looks like Nicolas Cage. I think he worked, just like in Face Off, he played two characters in that game.
Do you mean Dynamite Deca? Is that the game you're talking about?
Yeah,
I don't know
Dynamite
what that
Deca.
Is.
Excuse me.
I only speak the superior Nihongo.
Exactly. Well, Dynamite Deca, excuse me.
Dynamite Deca. I think there's that fantasy of like marrying into money or power, right? And the president it might be seen in these games or by these developers or I don't know, by Japan maybe, as the ultimate power, right? So there's some there, right?
I think it's, well, it seems to me that most of these, or at least half of these games are from Japan, so
yeah.
there might be something to that, because we had like Revolution X and that whatever electric something experience.
Electric Cop.
Yeah, from the links there, but generally these games are kind of Japan oriented, and I think they don't realize that.
Revolution X was a bad result. It was actually reading a blurb about Time Crisis.
Oh, so. Okay, all right.
I would have bought that anyway, though. I mean, I would have just assumed that Revolution X is trying to pick up the president.
No, it wasn't the president's daughter. It was Aerosmith. Unless the president's daughter was in Aerosmith and I didn't know it.
It was Liv Tyler.
Oh, wait,
Liv Tyler.
The premise that I thought you were playing as Aerosmith. Are they actually kidnapped by the
ninjas? They are kidnapped and you rescue them. Actually, I've never rescued.
Why did you do that?
Because music is the weapon. And they
use the
music.
Is the weapon. So I just want to let everybody know, you were talking about Electro Cop and I was thinking about RoboCop. The domain name videocops.com is available. I was just thinking possible video game names.
Oh, wow.
Videocops.com is available for $14,000.
Oh, damn.
So, man, nice. Videocops could be a really good name
for something.
A podcast or a video game. Videocops.net, though.
Or a police force.
Yeah. Oh, man, Videocops.
But yeah, I feel like the trope exists because marrying into status was more of a thing in Japan at the time, and they don't realize that marrying the president's daughter here would just mean you're under constant scrutiny and you'd have not maybe the best life.
Mm-hmm.
This
is some deep thoughts actually to end on, but we still have a little bit more time here.
Sure.
And I'm actually going to pad this out. I'm going to steal a topic that I saw on 4chan of all places.
Oh,
no.
I said it. There was a thread to make a boss rush of sorts of the most obnoxious, insufferable video game levels. primarily from 2D side scrollers.
So levels, so, not bosses.
Yeah, well, it's essentially it's a level rush as the concept.
Okay.
So, for example, and I disagree with this, but for example, you would take like the speeder bike level from Battletoads, the undersea pod from Earthworm Jim, and then you top that off with, perhaps not coincidentally, the underwater level from the original NES Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Okay, oh, that's actually very
How many
easy.
Are we going to do?
Yeah, it's amazing. That is so fucking easy. I beat it on my first try after like 20 years, but...
how many are we going to do? Like 5, 10?
Yeah, let's say our game needs like 5 stages, and they need to be as bad as we can, as frustrating as we can make it. So like what concepts or what specific levels would you put in there?
Okay, so I'm going to throw out that we will not put in any of the as they're called Masocore games. Well,
those games are dumb that are
deliberately trying to mess with you.
Right.
So we'll just...
We're talking about like an escort mission followed by an underwater level followed by an ice level.
Yeah.
Kind of shit.
The first ice level that came to my mind was the ice level in Valis 3, but I'm not sure that's frustrating enough.
It's fine. It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing that came to my mind was I just watched a Shenmue 2 speedrun on Summer Games Done Quick, and... the first level I want to put in our mix is that 3-hour segment where you just walk through fields with that lady and talk to her.
Okay.
And it's really excruciatingly difficult to hear the voice acting because it's awful.
I think that's a great idea because no matter what, you have to go through 3 hours before you get to something insanely difficult. So the next thing should be really tough.
The subtitling should be really small, too.
I would want the part where you have to walk across the planks. It's like a QTE with, like, just pressing left and right to walk across the wood planks in the Kowloon and Shenmue.
Too. Oh, I've heard that's really bad, but
the part's really bad because if you fall once, you got to restart the whole thing, and it's really long and really slow. Ooh. And reloading the save takes like 2 minutes, so that's got to be in there.
Yeah, but that's two from Shenmue then.
Yeah, that's I don't know.
That's a good classic horrible trope there. Like I was playing Shinobi, was it called Legends or Legions? The internet
Legions.
Doesn't seem to agree.
It's Legions.
Otherwise known as in the superior dialect, Shin Shinobi Den.
Mm-hmm.
But level 2 of that game is just like you've got these really tall trees, and all of the branches are really weak, and you just have to keep jumping and jumping. And if you stand on one too long, it, of course, breaks. It's fucking horrible.
I love it.
All right. I've got a great one here now that I think about it. So Exile 2, Wicked Phenomenon, for the TurboGrafx, not the PC Engine version, the version that Working Designs brought out here in these United States. That game, they messed up on the monster values so that they all became incredibly inflated. So the only way to actually beat that game, aside from hex editing, is to, in the second dungeon, grind for about an hour and a half on the same piddling little crappy monsters. It is the only way to progress through that game. And so I want to put that grind in Dungeon 2 in there.
All right, I'll do a quick one just to because we got some long ones here. The soda shop segment from Back to the Future for Nintendo. I don't know if anyone's played this. It's really bad.
No.
It's a rip off of Tapper.
Except
you cannot actually like tell where your position is at any time. Programmed by our friend Mark Morris of Oakland.
Oh, nice.
Mark Moore.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, though.
So nice going, Mark.
Yeah, good job, guy. You're a hero.
All right, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Do we just need, like, an underwater level?
Oh, and I should say, when you lose, which is, like, you know, there's, like, a two-frame opportunity to win, you know, When you lose, you have to go back to level one where you're running up the street to get to the soda shop every time. So if you mess up a little bit, you got to go back a lot of bit.
Yeah, that game is just gross, man.
Yeah.
I guess it would be stupid to put Desert Bus in there.
Yeah, we already have the inflated for no reason thing in there, you know?
Yeah, okay. All right, so...
Do we have a title for this fictional game? Or yet-to-be-made game, I should say.
Yet-to-be-made.
We'll call it The President's Daughter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Presdot.
Yeah, Presdot. So, yeah, we need one more. We need one more in there.
What kind of variety do we need?
Yeah, we could have, like, a racing section. We could have an underwater section. We could have a...
some kind of rubber band racing thing that's really...
So you made me think of the racing section from Chrono Trigger for some reason, but...
Just put
in Mario Kart and just there you go.
No, that's not hard
put
enough.
Put in the newest Mario Kart, 200cc, the final track of the final course, and you have to get first place, which is impossible because there's so much rubber banding and you're just getting hit with so many obstacles at all the time, and it's the most obnoxious thing in the world.
Yeah, it sounds all right.
Well, sometimes you win, though, and you're not really sure why, so forget that.
Oh, man, I had an idea, but it suddenly disappeared.
It does.
No. Oh, the stealth segment of Fahrenheit, a.k.a. the Indigo Prophecy. I'll just leave that to your imagination.
Ah.
I was going to say, stealth section is pretty descriptive in itself.
Descriptive in its stealth?
Ooh. I was thinking about a King of Fighters final boss fight would be fun to throw in there. Because those are notoriously impossible because they are designed completely to steal your quarters from you, and they're the same in the home versions and things. So they're just like... They put in stuff so that you could continue with the boss at a quarter health, and that's the way that you beat him. But if you just don't have that option, fighting, I don't know, the Orochi guy or something.
Or Gonitz or whatever his name was. There.
Yeah.
This actually reminds me of Gonads. This reminds me of two topics that we probably should have discussed instead of this lame one. Is we're going to talk about speed running.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what it's like to run at speed through a video game, I think, was the gist of it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And the second one was like China now owns, they've nationalized King of Fighters, I guess.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So are we out of time? Or are we going to address those?
I guess we'll talk about those next time.
Yeah, let's talk about
thrilling episode of the Insert Credit Show where I think we're doing this live now. Is that the way it's working?
Yep.
Yeah. You can cry about it or you can deal with it. Is what I have to say about it being live.
Yeah.
But they're both sort of the same thing.
Was there anybody watching this one? I feel like I should have been observing comments about how I'm breathing into the microphone and shit.
Like 22,
they were watching. Zero comments, though.
22,000 people.
Tim was saying the comments are disabled now.
No, the QA is disabled. They won't let us have live questions.
Ah.
But there should be comments. Like, what's going on?
No, I didn't refresh the page. No comments.
We shouldn't have to, but yeah. They just hate us.
Garbage.
People are watching in silence.
Well, everybody, remember to like, comment, subscribe, and blah, blah, blah,
like,
and follow us on.
Subscribe. Send me a weird email if you want. I don't know.
I see podcasts on Facebook. There is a Twitter account that none of us run, so I don't know what that's about. But.
At Insert Credit, but yeah, we could run it. We could figure out how to run it.
I think making a password for that and giving it to everybody is a good idea. Joel here doesn't have a... Joe Ham doesn't have a Twitter.
A tweet. Tweets
Why don't you just take that one, Yidget?
I'm kind of waiting on the Video Cops Twitter account. I hope that's still available. I need to run and
Video Cops
it up real quick.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to end it here, and we'll catch you next week at presumably this time. So, ta-ta.
Insert Credit Show.
Over, yeah!
Boom. See y'all on your tatas.